We pray, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of allowing us to come together in peace and safety in the sanctity of this building, Lord, which was dedicated unto you for the sole purpose of preaching and bringing forth the word of your presence, which has been denied, and we know that it has to be denied, even as it was way back there in the presence when you were with Moses, and then in the incarnation in Jesus Christ, and now today, the complete denial again, and people scoffing and say, well, where's the promise of his presence? Where's this? Where's that? And yet, Lord, if we had had eyes to see, which we thank you today, we have those eyes in this building here, amongst us people called brides, gathered together to hear your word, that we have seen, we have heard, and do testify to the truth, that thou, O God, art with thy people, leading them into millennium, even as you were with Moses and then with Joshua. And our Joshua art you yourself, Lord, the same one that came down with the shout to raise the dead, to take us up in the rapture, to incarnate yourself at the great wedding supper, and then to come back and set up a millennial kingdom of temple worship and all those things, Lord, which we don't understand, but we know they are there. And we appreciate the fact that we do know them, that to us has been given that revelation. And the revelation of the rapture, Lord, which the bride waited for. And that short message, we believe, that came out of the West already. We don't understand too much of what Brother Branham said, but we, to us, we do already have, at least in type or in portion. And however, we believe more in its entirety, because all these things Brother Branham said into that seventh seal, the seals that put us into a rapture. And so, Lord, we have believed that message that has shaken the nation, though people don't realize it has been shaken from stem to stern. And the greater quake of God and the Holy Spirit came forth and separated the people, the fan in the hand, that the breath of God, even heard in over there, Waterloo, Iowa, it's right recorded on a tape, Lord. And yet, Father, we know that the sound was so different. In my ear, it was the crashing chord of a great pipe organ. And on the tape, it is simply some other sound of a wind. And we don't understand these things, except we know that we understand to the place of revelation. Our faith is built on nothing less than the vindicated word of the vindicated God. Help us this morning, Lord, as we study humbly before you, Lord. And we know that we are very great failures within ourselves, Father, that we're not worthy to open these pages that the prophet brought us. We won't turn open that great word, that Bible, Lord. It's just about run its complete course here upon earth. Help us, Lord, to know the truth of it, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know what number this is, but it's some kind of a number, 7 or 8 or something. But we're still looking at the seed of discrepancy, and you're well aware of the fact that Brother Branham took this from Matthew 13, and it has to do with the parable of the sower and the seed. And the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, now notice he goes from the singular to the plural. His enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in that field? From whence then hath it the tares? And he said unto him, An enemy hath done this. And the servant said to him, Will thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, No, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together till the harvest, and at the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, and gather wheat unto my barn. Now the actual interpretation, although this parable is reality, it literally goes beyond a parable. You can, it's kind of like disguised characters standing for something in a great drama. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came, saying, Declare unto us, in other words, make us to understand thoroughly now your speech. Give us another speech and tell us how what this really means. Give us a real understanding of the parables of the tares of the field. And he answered and said, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Now that's your Alpha. Now you know the Son of Man, of course, is the name given to Jesus, which Brother Branham definitely signified, was a prophet. And of course, you get that from Ezekiel, Son of Man. What do you see? What do you hear? And so on. And again, we know also in the scripture, especially in Luke, where you find the days of the Son of Man. And that is a prophet. And again, the scripture also mentions to us that you are the children of the prophet. In other words, if you are born of the Word and you are a part of that Word, you had to come by a prophet. And if you didn't come by the prophet, then you are an illegitimate child. Let's see the discrepancy. Now, the thing is this, that God doesn't send prophets all the time. He doesn't need to. It's all specified in the scripture that when a prophet comes, he'll be thoroughly vindicated by God. God will vindicate himself to the prophet, and God will vindicate the prophet to the people. And the people will know that they actually have that word that they can depend upon, that that prophet is a son of man. Now, he's a part of the word. But Jesus was the son of man, being the whole word. So, all right, he says here in the Alpha, he that soweth the seed is the son of man. Now, you can go right back to the Garden of Eden. Let us make man in our image. And so man was made in the image of God to have perfect dominion over the earth and the things therein. And of course, man fell, he lost that image, to the degree of a marring. And the marring, of course, would have to be in the body. Because if you could mar the soul, forget it. And God himself has no continuity. He has no relativity. He has no integrity. He has no status. Because you are a part of him. And that soul cannot sin. That soul cannot enter into unbelief. It may have some problems, which it certainly does, due to the flesh and the spirit that we are allowed of God, but is not of God. What is of God is our soul. Now, he said, he breathed into it. Now, the first one made, the first man categorically would be God. The second man would be Jesus. Now, I know that Jesus only can't stand that, and the Trinitarians are so goofed up they wouldn't know what's going on. But we have no truck and trade with them. We don't have to explain anything to them. We don't have to worry about them. There's nothing we're interested in concerning them. We're interested only in ourselves. And we're interested in ourselves. We are the children of the Son of Man, a prophet. Our direct relationship to God is through William Branham. Now, I know right away people get their heads up and their tails up and their myth because, oh, I don't need William Branham. I just need Jesus. Well, you see, this is the stupidest thing in all the world. Jesus said, whosoever receiveth, whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receives me receiveth the one that sent me. And we know that man himself opened the door to this one way of receiving the word of God, which was by a prophet. So there's nothing you can do about this. You can snort and stew, which, hey, I don't care how much snorting and stewing they're doing. I just want to have rest and peace and comfort in my soul that I got the living word of God. That's all the vindicated word. So here you see the Alpha, the sowing. Actually, you can apply this to every single age, but you go right back to the garden. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And it says, when Adam and Eve were one figure in the spirit, God breathed into, he made a body, a human body, which was entirely masculine, but within was the feminine concept, the feminist spirit, or Brother Branham called the feminine spirit. And he, remember, he categorically stated that this masculine feminine was made for one reason, only for propagation. Because you simply cannot have life, which what we're looking at, and remember, the male life and the female life is identical. If you're a cow, you're a cow. You're a pig, you're a pig. You're a horse, you're a horse. You're human, you're human. If you're of God, you're of God. But the propagation is limited to specifications that God laid down. So he breathed into Adam the breath of lives, and man became a living soul. Now that's for propagation, though the female was not separated from the male. So he had to separate that later on. But the point of the matter is, when he breathed, what Brother Branham said, that was not simply artificial respiration. Now he didn't use that term. I'm using it. He says it isn't just an ordinary breath. That's what he said, human breath. It's God Himself breathing the Holy Spirit into that man, and he ends up with the breath of life, and he being a living soul. Now, the point is, was he not a living soul before that? You couldn't be what he was without having that element, that essentiality of God within him already. He's telling you that this man now is a part of the physical creation, whereby with Eve they will bring forth children into the same physical creation as was in the world. And you see squirrels bringing forth squirrels, cats bringing forth cats, dogs bringing forth dogs, ponies bringing forth ponies, cows bringing forth cows, camels. And they're all in there ready to go ahead. And so now God raises up Adam and Eve. And they are going to propagate. They're going to bring forth after their likeness. Now remember, that likeness is a likeness which is not anywhere else. No animal was made in the likeness of God. No angel was made in the likeness of God. Jesus being born of God, issuing forth from him, was the very image of God. But he wasn't God. He was that Son of God. In thee I've begun my generations. So here you see the beginning. This one has to be identified in the Omega, the Alpha, beg your pardon, as the prophet. He can't be otherwise. Now, as Jesus was in God, we were in him. See? So when the man was breathed into by God, the breath of life, he now becomes a propagator of God himself as to what depth, extension, and what God wanted. Now let's look a little further down here. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. Now the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that planted good seed. See? Now, then you have a discrepancy. You go back to Cain and Abel, and you say, merciful heavens, it isn't possible that Adam and Eve could have two children with such disparity, one loving the Word and obeying the Word of God, one hating the Word and disobeying the Word of God and hating God. Now, you're not going to tell me, and nobody's going to tell me, because I know the law of genetics. You are not going to have a dog come forth with a cat's head. Brother Branham categorically said the scientific truth, God does not pile a human cell, then a cat cell, then a dog cell. It's all the way. So therefore, whatever God started back here has got to go all the way, no matter what interferes or what comes in between, it doesn't matter. So what you see here is that God has placed your children in the world. And that wouldn't be just cosmos, that would be the physical earth and all that pertains to it. And then the ramifications that come forth are due to what people are in that world that raise up the political, the financial, and all those other things that go with it. So really you're looking to begin with here at the physical grounds, Garden of Eden, and then they're going to stretching beyond it all around. The tares are the children of the wicked one. Now that tells you right flat there, that cannot change either. Now how in the world did they get there? They're sown right amongst them. Well, we know that positively by reading the New Testament, the Pauline epistles, where Jesus has spoken in John concerning predestination and outlined the fact right here. You are of your father, the devil, the works of your father you do. He was a murderer in the beginning and so on. And then he tells these right here. He talks about the great heroes of faith and so on. And Paul does the same thing, and he brings to light the fact there is one lump. And that one lump became an entire one lump at the time of Noah. He was the last true human being. Genetically speaking, he was perfect. He was the only one left. Well, a man can't propagate by himself. I mean, all this talk of science and all doing the stupid things they're doing, you're only going to reap the whirlwind. So anyway, now, it's all one lump. He said, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. So, all right, you've got the Son of Man, the prophet, who is the Son of God, who manifests through a prophet, manifested through flesh, God manifesting through him. See? Now at the end time, you have the days of the Son of Man that are repeated. And now notice what it says here, that those two seeds remain intact. They're all in one field, they're in one lump, but they are separate. See, now that's exactly how you can have a Jacob and an Esau. Same parents. But the two of them, neither one was genetically perfect. No way, shape, and form. They were all messed up with the serpent seed of the flesh. And this tragic thing and the strange thing is within the reproductive lines, there would be both the sperm and the egg of the woman, the sperm of the man, the egg of the woman, which would already be marked by God and predestinated by virtue of the fact of its source. See? Whether that was a seed of God or a seed of the enemy. Now, if you think for 1 minute that people are going to believe what I'm preaching outside of a few of us, you know, so-called brain-damaged people, you're entirely wrong. They don't go for this. Not even those that believe in predestination go for it. Most of those that believe in predestination are the stupidest of all because they believe that we're all reprobates and somehow the goat gets turned into a sheep. You say, no, Brother Vail, I've read their articles, and they say a sheep is a sheep and a goat is a goat. Wonderful. Why don't they explain it? In other words, they're simply mouthing. But the Spirit of wisdom and revelation has come into the church to teach the deep things of God and show the church the hour in which it lives. And on top of that, Brother Branham even went so far as to say that this Spirit at the end time, through him, would teach the things that were not known from before the foundation of the world. In other words, they hadn't been brought into view as to their understanding, though they could lie here in the Scripture in a seed form. And I'm going to tell you flat, one of those things was that Eve was to bring forth Jesus in a human form. Who's going to believe that except us? Say, bring on the dunce caps, Brother Vail. Well, that's okay by me. I don't care how they brand me. I know who I am, where I came from. Now, the wicked are that sowed them is the devil. Now, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man. So the man is set in the earth. And the kingdom of heaven has its origin, its beginnings and its endings upon earth in the fate, in the destiny of mankind, whoever that mankind is. Now, if you've got tares, rather, pardon me, wheat and tares, they both have to be people. Now, how in the world does the devil get in there? You see, because he cannot create. There is no record of him having charge over any person or persons because he did not. There is a record, however, of the beast coming to Eve and presenting her the word of God in a false light. Now, you look at the scripture, and you find without a doubt that Cain had to be of that evil one because John said so based upon what Jesus said. So therefore, Cain, though not of the spirit lineage, as though he were literally a child of the devil, in the sense that the devil could do anything about procreation or creation, he couldn't. But he's got to use what is there before him, and there was this animal, the missing link. Now here's where evolution comes together. So Satan used this animal that could think, was upright like a man, that was so close to being a human being and yet not a being, a place for a soul and not having a soul. Now, if he had a place for a soul, the only kind of soul that could get in there would have to be a kind of a beast-like soul. There could no way be the human entity involved within that. So he is a an intrusion into the human race by commingling seed with Eve and bringing forth Cain. Now, remember the scripture says, Jesus talking, you're your father the devil, and he was a murderer from the beginning. You can't find one place where the devil murdered anybody. The murderer was Cain. Now, he was of that wicked one. And it doesn't mean that he simply sold himself out to the wicked one. He was literally of that wicked one so that he could mingle with the human race and raise up a race of hybridized people and animals together, which could speak, were intelligent, cunning. When the beast was the most cunning and subtle of all the beasts of the field, you know, he could have had an IQ far above Adam and Eve's. Maybe where your computer came from, without a doubt. All these things in the world came from that wicked individual. Now, as I say, the devil never killed anyone. Cain was the one that killed. Who was the liar from the beginning? The beast. See, that's the one that Satan used, and there's where you find the grassroots, the basis of predestination, why God would have to predestinate under certain conditions, because a dog is a dog is a dog is a dog. That's what three generations right there. And a horse is a horse is a horse is a horse. That's four. And a son of God is a son of God is a son of God is a son of God for how many generations? 6,000 years. Maybe I can be that. See, they just don't have the capacity. Where you and I this morning say, hallelujah, isn't this marvelous? We got the explanation. This clears everything up. They go into a tizzy. Blaspheming the Most High God. Persecuting His saints. Hating with a vengeance. Ready to destroy like their father, the devil. Brother Branham categorically said, any kind of an evil spirit, and I'm paraphrasing again, can be around. It doesn't care. I don't care if it's a spirit of murder, a spirit of you name it. If it can't get a hold of somebody to work through, no, nothing can happen. It's the same thing. God has limited Himself. God makes sure He has someone to work through. God's made sure the devil's got somebody to work through, too. Sure. So you see, this whole thing is coming out here, the seed of discrepancy. Now, the Alpha is the Son of Man. Now let's read 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world, the Son of Man, Omega, shall send forth His messengers, and they gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity. Starting with Luther, 1, 2, 3. Luther, Wesley, Branham. So by the time Branham comes, you don't have anybody that offends in the sense of, looking at it here, and the Son of Man shall send forth His messengers, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Under your third messenger comes the place of perfection, where there's nobody left the serpent seed. There's only the uniquely, divinely attested to and created by and brought forth by and attested to a bride. And it starts with Luther. The just shall live by faith, number one. Sanctification under Wesley, bringing forth fruit. Neither one of themselves could do the job that William Branham did. There's your third messenger. And it's through him that we come to the place where the fan is in the hand, the granary is thoroughly purged, and the chaff will be burned up with unquenchable fire. Now remember, this takes place under messengers. Now don't get carried away by the thought of personality. Luther Plufer, who cares? Wesley Smesley, who cares? Branham Hannum, who cares? Do they have a message? It's not the messenger. If you don't think that's the truth, let me read what William Branham himself said. He said, I want you to know this assuring, you that listen to this tape. You might have thought today I was trying to say about that about myself being I was packing this message. I have no more to do with this message than nothing. No more to do with this message than just my voice. And my voice, oh heavens, even against my better judgment. What was his best judgment? To be a skunk spinner. I want to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father that I declare to do. I'm going to, in other words, I'll explain thoroughly and tell you all about it, how the will of the Father is involved. I have nothing to do with it. This is sheer God. Count me out. Put me out of the picture. See? Now, I wasn't, and I'm determined to do it too. I wasn't the one that appeared down the river. I was only one standing there when he appeared. Who? Son of Man. Form of the Holy Ghost, pillar of fire. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things and happen as perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. I was only a voice that he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I just surrendered myself to that he spoke through. Ooh, I did. You talk about the Pentecostals rising up on that one. They'd like the thought of God speaking through a person. Then they turn around and say, God doesn't speak through anybody. That's the devil speaks through people. It isn't I. It wasn't the seventh messenger. That's William Branham. Oh, no. It was a manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the messenger, his message. It was a mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man, it's God. The angel was not the Son of Man. In other words, the messenger was not the Son of Man. He was a messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. He's the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words will fail, but you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Now, that's the testimony of the man himself. Someone going to come along and put words in his mouth or say, well, Brother Branham, the thing is that you're a good person, but you just don't know what's going on. See, you yourself said you're just a tool. Now, they want to go from the word tool to fool. We're the wise guys. We'll put you square. Could you believe that for 1 minute? That's the spirit of Cain. They don't even know they got it.
Oh, we got the spirit of God.
Well, if they've got it, I don't want it. I'm like Arthur Godfrey on that too fat polka. I don't want her. You can have her. She's too fat for me. I'm not interested in what they got. I'm not at all interested. I came out of it. It came out of me. Sir, I'm no more nothing Laodicea church age than anything. Pentecostal, forget it. See, the Son of Man shall send forth. All right, Luther was the first third of the word. Wesley was the second third of the word. William Branham was the third third of the word. That's the whole thing. And it's at that time that the Son of Man must manifest himself. And under him, you come to Malachi. Oh, how I love Malachi. And it says in here, 3:16, they that feared the Lord and spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. and heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. They should be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In the day when I make up my jewels, and I'll spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him, then shall you return. What's redeem mean? Buy back. So here we have a redemption. See? Being carried out. And Brother Branner said the book in his hand was the book of redemption, brings it down to earth. Now, if your name and my name is on that book, we'll be talking one to another and fearing his name. And we'll be part of his jewels. And it says, then shall you return and discern between righteousness and wickedness. Bless God, don't tell me I don't know right from wrong. Don't tell me I can't tell who's right and who isn't right. Well, you can't. Until you have the truth as revealed in the last hour, there is no way that you can. And unless you are following the rules of holy communion and communication, which is by this word, which means you and I speak flawlessly the language of the hour. So the moment you mention God, one God who is Holy Spirit, the minute you mention the Son of God, yes, he's that one which formed and came out of God. He is that Son of God who laid aside all his heavenly robes according to Philippians and took upon himself a mask of flesh that his Father could dwell therein. And signed, my Father, a one. The works that I don't do, period. What I say, I have not of my own thinking. I am neither omniscient nor omnipotent. I've learned obedience through suffering. I'm right up here now on the throne of Almighty God. I'm still efficacious as mediator, intercessor, high priest. Ask anything in my name and I'll do it. We have no problem. They have the problems. The big thing is don't talk with those people. Talk to each other. That's what they did at the Omega Alpha of the New Testament. Now in the seventh church age, it's to end the same way. Now it says, you that have gone astray, you're going to return. Well, who in the world are you going to return to? Return to God. Tells you how to do it. And him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh. Now that's a chapter and a new paragraph written by man. Now, I believe God was in it. No problem there. But when you see a new chapter, you automatically say, well, that took care of that. What's behind it doesn't go on. Well, it does go on. It says, this is requisite. For behold, the day comes of the earth burning like an oven. And if you don't have this, you'll burn with it. Now the question is, what gets burnt? The tares. But the wheat is gathered into the garn. So that's what Brother Brown was looking back over here when he brought this message out. And you notice we can just stay with one, not even turn to the pages and go endlessly. With deeper insight, some new insight, more freedom, more liberty, more consecration, more what you call zeal, more enlightenment. That's where our excitement is. And so now it says, gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. Now, we're all things to God, and those others, they sure aren't all things to God, period. And them which do iniquity. Now, this means right here, they know to do better and don't. They plunge right into their lawlessness. Yet everything has a law. They're a law to themselves. And shall cast her into a furnace. Now there you are, Malachi 4 and 1. Now this is Malachi 3, 16 to about 18, wherever we read, the first part here, telling you what's going to happen at the end time. We go back to the Alpha. Complete headship is restored to the church, which is none other than God Himself. Because the head of woman is the man, and the head of man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. Now you got to get come back to headship. And you can only get back to headship because of our Redeemer, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, your elder brother, with whom we are of one source. And he's not ashamed of us. I don't think any of us are ashamed of him. The thing is, we're so ashamed of ourselves, it looks like we're ashamed of him. But that's no need. He understands perfectly. So, all right, Brother Branham has used this parable. And he said, this parable, because there is judgment and fire, I added the fire because he talked about judgment. He said, this has to do with the end time. So, we have an end time messenger, William Branham, who adds remaining one third. Repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. That becomes done away with. It's past its time. And the Holy Ghost Himself, God, Elohim, Jehovah. And remember in the book of Isaiah, that great book, He's Jehovah Elohim, or Elohim Jehovah. That same one that incarnated Himself there at the River Jordan and left His Son, now become flesh, that great prophet in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now He comes down to put the church in order, to return the kingdom to the rightful one, which is our own great propagator, Jesus Christ Himself, who became flesh just like you and me. I don't care what kind of form He was in the beginning, as a light, whatever, that's God's business, not mine. He's the same yesterday and day forever. He doesn't change. I don't care if He, God incarnated Him in another form, like back in the days He was Michael. He was a cherub that covered the brass, long Satan covering, leading in the worship of God. Great archangel. I don't know. That doesn't bother me one little bit. All I know who He is. And what God and He does, that's their business. See, you get carried away with little intricate things. You get carried away wondering. What do you have to wonder about? What do you care if this suit here is wool or 30% cotton? What does it really matter? Well, you see, I wouldn't pay that a good big price for cotton. All right, then forget it. Go and buy yourself a full wool suit and pay full price. See, nitpicking, nattering, wondering. Oh, for land's sake. Just believe the Word of God. See, my believing and my faith implicitly in this Word that Brother Branham brought, I'm able to go to the Scripture and bring out certain things that there's no way I could find any Scripture because I didn't believe. See, at the end time, you have a perfect interpretation, a perfect revelation, because it's the manifestation of the Word of God for this hour. Oh, people don't believe that. And they're dying everywhere in their unbelief. When we die in faith. We don't have to have feelings or anything else. Here I come, Lord, I'm ready. What great feelings you have. What's feeling got to do with it? I read about three different guys that withstood Brother Branham. I won't mention their names. Why should I bother? And you ought to hear the eulogies concerning them. How they died with such great peace. How they died with such overflowing. How they died with such great hoo-la-la-la. Angels beckon me to heaven's golden shore. Open the door, Jesus. I'm coming. What about the day of judgment? I never knew you. Depart from me, you that were going to hear you. What good then does your feeling and the testimony of your friends around your casket have to do? I'd like to know. I want some answers. Well, I've already got them. I just want to hear what they've got to say. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Religion today is like all these suits and pieces of cloth that are made. They drive me crazy. I buy a suit and I'm sure it's one certain color. I take it outside, it's another color. I get under the fluorescent lights and it's another color. Crazy, man, crazy. That's the way the religion is today. It's a hodgepodge. Popery is too good a word for it. What a mess, what an hour we're living in. Oh, my. What a tragic situation. I haven't been watching the time or anything. Nobody's watched the time. We ain't going anywhere. We're in eternity already. Just waiting for a little change, which will be very nice. I appreciate that myself. So, all right. He takes this wonderful parable here, this being culminated in this hour. Then it says here, while these people are weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth, the righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Okay? Of their Father. They'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing in the kingdom of their Father. Then as the righteous shall shine forth. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Oh man, a lot of people thought they were hearing in those days, and a lot of people think they're hearing in these days, and I admit they're hearing all right, but what are they hearing? As Paul said, there's many voices in the air, and none without signification of some description. What are you listening to? All right. See the discrepancy. Man, page 10, right back to paragraph 50. I'm going to fool you. I'm going to read fast today. Now we find today this discrepancy has been sold in every age. What's he talking about? Thus saith the Lord. This is the message. Even under Luther is thus saith the Lord, though he himself did not have thus saith the Lord. As though he could say, thus saith the Lord tomorrow morning, so and so and so and so and so and so. He didn't have to. God was working this out in his own way, which was suffusing the mind of Dr. Luther with the Holy Ghost so that his mind became a functional tool of the Holy Spirit, and he'd take that word and just burn it in. Stand right there so full of the word and the Holy Ghost, he said, God helping, I can do nothing else. I'm going to stand here. Let them do what they want to do. He's just simply carried away. Wesley came on the scene. He was a bit more of a politician. Now, Wesley got caught up in politics. There's nobody that doesn't get caught up in politics to a degree. You know, you get a man like William Branham, that's a horse of a different color. A bird that's of a different color. He never got caught up in politics. Never got caught up in anything except the word. But you see, he was predestinated to that. You can't do what you're not predestinated to. Let's face it. Come on. All right. Today we find this discrepancy, this turning on the word, changing the word. Paul tells how it's done. Brother Branham quoting from Paul over here, the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. He tells you here, he says here, I've kept nothing back. He said, now behold, I know ye all among whom I've gone preaching the kingdom of God. Now see that? Paul tells how it's done. Brother Branham quoting, actually quoting from Paul over here, the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. He tells you here, he says here, I've kept nothing back. He said, now behold, I know ye all among whom I've gone preaching the kingdom of God. Now see, this takes in his whole trip around the world, different times, different places. Shall see not my face, nor thou, and take you to record this day. I'm here from the blood of all men, for I've not shunned declaring to you all the counsel of God. Take heed there for yourselves, the whole flock, and so on, down. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you. Who are the grievous wolves? False quoting Jesus. Wolves in sheep clothing. See? Now this is an Aesop's ass that wanted to be a lion and rule everybody. And the minute he opened his mouth, he brayed like a jackass, which he was, and everybody laughed. These guys are swabs. They sound exactly like true ministers. Except they're one word off, maybe. Or they got like Ford, they got a better idea. I never did believe Ford had a better idea, any more than I believe these birds have. Now he says right here, sown in every age, off the word, off the word, off the word. See? He went off the word till the dark ages came, holding the word in about, 1100 years of the grip, totalitarian grip of Rome? The darkest of night. And Luther came on the scene and cracked that shell apart. Wesley came on the scene and burst out around the world. Out of it came Pentecost. It had to. The baptism with the Holy Ghost, justification, sanctification, baptism, then baptized for himself. Under William Branham, the pillar of fire. There it is right there, recorded on the wall. I don't care if people say and do that. They just think it well, do what they want to do. Who cares? For us, no evidence. Fine, no argument. Just beat it. You and I are finished. Sit and eat with them? Why would you sit and eat with them? They may leave the tab on you and you have to pay the tab. Forget it. Let them chow down and pay for their own chow down. Forget it. You're not obligated. If one time you tell a person this truth and he doesn't take it, you don't have to tell him anymore. Boy, see, I think I'd like to tell him some more. Okay, be my guest. Does the word get any more powerful? No, same word. Does God say, let you be like, oop, mister. I'll try it again. What's the difference between God's word on your lips and God's words on his own lips when there's a certain job to do and you're the one to do the job with the word of God in your lips? Well, and then that was powerful enough. I've been accused of overkill. And that. I accuse them of underkill. Their swords are a bunch of mushrooms and puffballs. They're not the sword of God that draws blood. I'm an overkill to some guys because, you see, they don't want to listen to me about talking vindication, chug-a-chug-a-chug-a-chug. My train going to heaven made up chug-a-chug-a-vindication. You know what yours is made up of? Forget it. Do what they want. The minute they do, they sell out to some stupidity. Oh, God. Not even fit to be called warmed over puke. They're pulling a ladder right now around the country. Oh, brother. And people standing with it and for it. You know why? Because they never really took a stand with this word. Come on, you stand with this word, brother, sister. It puts backbone in you, iron in your blood. Humanly speaking, I'm lacking iron in my blood, but spiritually speaking, I've got more iron in my soul than most of these guys will have in 10, 15,000 million years if they live. Never had any in the first place and never will. Now, if it was possible to get in the next 10, 50 minutes, I'd do, but you can't. Down through the ages, most of all read the Bible. Now, like Jesus, when he came, he found that discrepancy, the contrariness, was contrary to the word. Now, what was the discrepancy? The discrepancy didn't have one thing to do with the miracles and the gifts and those things that Jesus did. They concurred. The discrepancy lay in the fact that they would not take that word. They would not take the word according to the guidelines of the word. See, you take the word, you got to stay within the word. You can't walk out inside I say and say, well, I'll try this method, I'll do that. See, that's what Eve allowed the devil to tell her. Walk outside the word, so it'll be okay. You can't do it. Look what she brought upon the earth. See? Now, he found this discrepancy. Now watch. He was the Word made manifest. So therefore, he was God's interpretation of the Word. What does that mean? If he's the Word made manifest, all you've got to do is look at him and you know the interpretation. Say, hey, this one here, as Nicodemus said, we know you're a teacher sent for God, from God, because no man can do the works that you do save God be with him. And I said, I got that down pat. This thing is of God. It is a manifestation of God. Therefore, this man in his ministry is a manifestation of God. So therefore, it's a manifestation of Scripture, and by manifesting, he's interpreting to me some Scripture. I hope I can get my hands on it. You think William Branham's any less or any prophet of God? Forget it. The same thing. Say, all right, we got that down pat. He was the interpretation of God's word because he said, search the Scripture. For in them you think you have eternal life. You are looking for eternal life. You're looking for that which God has set forth, which will help you, and thereby you will be a part of that kingdom which never, ever fails. Search for it. You'll find me. You think they began looking in the Scripture to find what... No way, shape, and form. How many preachers today take what Brother Branham said, go right back to the Bible and say, I'm going to find it there because that's where it came from. If it didn't originally come from here, almost unbearably fixed, rigid, unbending, scare the daylights out of you, just about. Well, you haven't got a clue what I'm talking about. It's got to be here. So, Brother Bill, I'll be the prophet William Branham. He was fallible. Oh, hogwash. You mean you're an idiot and a dunce and you want to compare him to yourself? Why don't you just admit the truth? In them you think you have eternal life. And you do, but your thinking is wrong. And they are they that testify of me. They're telling you something that is being fulfilled in me. William Branham allocated that to himself in his own role. They didn't believe it. I believe it. Oh, my great joy is if I, like Brother Branham said, if he sends me to hell, I'll still love him. I can't make statements like that because you know Lee Vail and I know him, and my God have pity. But I can honestly say my great joy, if I were to miss everything, if my great joy is going to this word and seeing what the prophet said and seeing, yes, it is right there. And I showed you. So, Brother Ben, I don't see it that way. I didn't ask you to. I'm telling you how I see it. This is where I get my uppers. If you want a bunch of downers, go to the creeds and dogmas and you'll get dressed in tatters and thrown out of the wedding supper, you know, room before you even get to the wedding supper. There you are. He was the interpretation of the word. Well, how was the interpretation? Because he stood there fulfilling it. So I think somebody ought to come down and tell us all these great things. He did tell them and they wouldn't listen.
He explained it to them. So I'm going to give you a little sermon, he said. I am fulfilling the very scripture that you are claiming and talking about as having eternal life. Here I am before you. I am that prophet. I am that Messiah. I am God manifest in human flesh, because God is manifesting through me. And you yourselves know that no man can do these works except God be with him. He said, I don't perform anything, I don't say anything except it is God doing it. I'm just one standing here. I am that one. Oh, I beg to differ with you. I don't believe you are him. Well, you tell me who is. You know what he told him? He said, you turn me down, there's one coming you won't turn down. That goes for you and me too. Goes for this age. And every, now listen. And every born again son and daughter of this age is the interpretation of the word. You are written epistles read of all men. Now what was Jesus Christ? He was that portion, he was that word made living for that hour in a human vessel. Now the point is this. Was that word miracles? Was that word vindication? No, by no means. The Word was the Word. The man was vindicated, so you might know it is the Word. We are not prophets, but therefore we believe in vindication. We believe and we understand the truth that came forth in that message. And I tell you what, gifts and signs and wonders is not the sign or the evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is not you being written epistles by the Spirit, read and known of all men. Because there's miracles performed. That is not it at all. The argument has always been over the Word. The fuss has always been over the Word. So therefore, we receive this Word. And as we receive this Word and become one with it and testify and admit to it, the people hear our testimony. And we have become the written epistle. Now, if you don't think that's the truth, we're going to take you right back here to 1 Corinthians as I did last Sunday. This is tremendously, tremendously important. In the 15th chapter, I beg your pardon, 14th chapter. And it says here, what came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? Well, it only came to them. Never came out of them. Paul brought it, vindicated, stood there ready to die. Barnabas came by, chosen by the Holy Ghost the same as Judas was. Right there stood with Paul and miracles and signs and wonders and bore the name of Jesus. Oh, it looked like, hey, this is the greatest guy in the world. And he wanted Paul to circumcise Timothy, which meant that Timothy had no part in Christ. If you are circumcised, forget it. It's over. You're gone. You're finished. How much Holy Ghost did this guy have? Right up to the point of the word, where he saw he could get his knife in. And he had them all jumping up and down in Jerusalem, jumping on Paul's back, trying to flatten the poor little guy. Ah, circumcise him, circumcise him, circumcise him. Paul said, hold it. He said, the first thing is, Barnabas, beat it. I won't even see your dust. Oh, Brother Dale, don't you think they could give him a little here and give a little there? Forget it. How big is a sperm that a baby's made of? Gave a little. He took a little. Brought forth a cruddy giant. Filthy serpent seed. No, don't get yourself messed up in times like these. What came the word of God of you came the only? Now listen, if any man think himself to be a prophet, that's to whom the word of God comes, but of course in this case, Paul's just opening the door. Taken in the fivefold also, which is really what it's all about. Or spiritual. Spiritual man is one that is in the spirit. He's discerning. He let go of his own senses. Imbued with the Holy Ghost, he receives the engrafted word of Almighty God, and there it is in front of him by revelation. Church built upon it. Now he said, if you are a prophet, or part of the fivefold ministry, or you believe you're part of the bride of Christ, you're full of the Holy Ghost, acknowledge. Come out flat-footed. Tell it as it is, that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. There you're a living epistle read and known of all men. Now you're not hiding behind some gift of the Spirit or some honky-tonky thing and some sweet little life. I'm a Christian based guy. Don't do that. What word are you in? See, that's what you're talking about. Are you the interpretation of this hour? Am I? We're not prophets. Get that junk out of your head. Get manifestation out of your head. There's only one place that you and I fit. That's according to the same book of Corinthians. The high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ, saying the same things that he said. So, I'll go back to the gospel, praise God. Well, you just blew it again. Go back to William Branham, the pillar of fire. Oh, Brother Dave, you always talk about that. Well, tell me what else I should talk about. You ain't going to tell me anything. Guy tried that here, and I said, beat it. Let's get out of here. So I don't agree with you the last two Sundays. I said, what's the degree? I own the pulpit. You want to see the check we wrote in the church to pay it off? Coming out of Grace Gospel Ministries, so I got a place to preach. Sashay down the road. Do your devil's dance. Do it someplace else. Well, some of you are kind of confused this morning. You simply can't let Pentecost go, your daddy go, your mommy go. For God's sake, let go. Doesn't matter to me if you don't. I'm just talking tough now because I know people. When I'm not stupid. Notice he said, in vain do they worship me. Teaching discrepancy, one word off, for doctrine. Sure, Brother Bear, we don't need doctrine. We need this, we need that. You're a liar. If your blueprint is wrong, your building is wrong, period. See, thou make all things according to the pattern I showed thee in the mount. The Church of Jesus Christ is based upon and built upon revelation, which revelation must come from God. And he must reveal it to one person. The prophet. Vain do they worship me. Teaching for doctrine the discrepancy, doctrine of men, creeds of men, teaching that to be the Word of God, when it has nothing to do with the Word of God. One word off, and the whole thing has nothing to do with the Word of God. Well, Brother Bill, I believe in Scripture that he that has much, much is required. And if he gets really off track, then you understand he has many strikes. I believe in a sort of a gradation and so on. Well, hey, I do too when it comes to what you're talking about, but you're not talking about what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Word. Leave it alone. Don't touch it. Don't fool with it. Okay. Paragraph 52. A new paragraph. How many minutes we got left? 20? Oh, well, hey, we can cover a tiny bit here. Look. Each age produces such a crop. Every age has done it. And ours is no exception or excuse. We've done the same thing, only worse. We have the same thing and a greater age of it than all other ages put together, for this is the ending of world's history. Would this be worse than the days of Noah? Absolutely. No comparison. This is the greatest discrepancy. In other words, the most damage and deliberate changes in the Word of God have been and are made in this hour far above all other ages. But notice, this is the greatest discrepancy that's ever been on the earth. It's on the face of the earth today. Now watch. This is where your two spirits are so close that you can't tell one from the other. But it's all right outlined in Matthew 7. Beware of wolves in sheep clothing, false prophets. Many will come in that day and say, haven't we cast out devils, done so and so and so and so? They don't even know that they're emissaries of the devil. They'll tell you with sincere heart and sincere mind, absolutely, positively, I am of God. And you know why? Because they take a certain amount of Scripture and stand on it, instead of taking the Scripture that's revealed for this hour, or the entire Scripture that they can read, but they refuse to read it. And if they don't refuse to read it, they refuse to believe it.
That's God. Who needs a prophet? Who needs William Branham? Who needs this and who needs that? I got cheese.
Oh, do you now? I got news for you. I just read the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, then I jumped over to the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, and I find you are a discrepancy. You don't line up. Hey, something doesn't gel, something doesn't jive. Don't tell me Adam and Eve can bring forth a Cain. Don't tell me. No, the Bible already said he's a murderer of all living. It doesn't say one thing about Adam being the father, and even science proves it. Oh, there could be different lot of Eves, but we have one Eve. Even science admits to serpent seed and doesn't know what it's admitting to, because God said every tongue shall praise him. Every tongue shall confess that he is Christ to the glory of God the Father. Not every tongue shall confess that he is God to the glory of God, as though God is praising himself. Why do you think God made us? We're to praise him. God doesn't praise himself. He just lays the record out. He likes our praises. Out of a pure heart that stands with the word. We have it greater today, for this is the ending of world's history. This is the greatest discrepancy ever been upon the earth. It's on the face of the earth. Now listen, discrepancy in other ages pulled them away from the true and living God to idols. Now watch. Today, Jesus said, Matthew 24:24, not idols. Pulls you right back to the Word. As the Roman Catholic Church now has the Bible. For years they never had it. Who was responsible? A Pentecostal. Mr. Pentecost. Don't think the Baptists got the Bibles back in Rome. No, no, no. Or the Methodists or Eleusinians. It was the Pentecostals. And one man in particular. When the cardinal said, sir, what message shall I give to the Holy Father? He said, give the Holy Father the message. I'd like to see the Bibles in the church. And they proliferated the Bibles. So now they say, hey, we got the Bibles. We're going to bring you back. And so they got charismatic. They spoke in tongues and that did it. They healed the sick, they raised the dead and that did it. But it didn't. We got their picture in Matthew 7. In Matthew 24. And in Revelation 13. Yeah. Now listen. Back there they had idols. Now let's go through this very rapid and I'll show you where AIDS came from. I've been waiting to do this for month after month after month. Now I am here. You might not agree with me, but that's your own business, so forget it. Now it says here in Romans 1, because they, verse 21, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, it came vain in their reasonings. The foolish heart being darkened, professing themselves wise, they became utter fools. Absolute gibbering idiots. changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like a corruptible man to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into the lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the creature, that's by their idols. See? And for this cause gave them up to vile affections, for even the women did change their natural use, and that which is against nature. And likewise the men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which was unseen, receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. God gave them over to complete reprobation. All right, this is homosexuality. And where homosexuality came from, where did it come from? It came from those nations and is prolific in those nations that still have idols. Go to Africa. And I'm not against the Africans. Where is it? Where is it? Where the idols are being carried around. Now, you say, well, that's the blacks. Oh, no, 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 hold it. There's another color involved. It's yellow. Where's the great city of sex today? Is it Bangkok, I think? Little girl sold into prostitution, 5, 6 years of age. Maybe 300,000 prostitutes all full of AIDS and giving somebody's new customers, maybe 5 cases a day. Idol worshippers. See? Where'd it come from? Africa. Thailand. Idol worshippers. You think India's not full of it? Say, Brother Bale, how's it over here then where they're not idol worshippers? Well, that's simple as ABC. That's simply 2 Timothy. No, this is the last day's perilous time shall come. For men to be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient parents, unthankful, with unnatural affection. Now they say the woman has a gene which she passes on to her children, which right away they just automatically, like ducks go to water, they're homos and lesbians. I ain't going to argue. But I'll tell you the real reason. They left the gene of God, the Word. Now they got death dwelling in them. And as Brother Branham said, don't you say the smoking and cursing and drinking are sins. There's only one sin, that's unbelief. What I mentioned are merely attributes. Listen to the attributes. Oh, my Lord, have pity. Without natural affection. Covetous, lovers of selves, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient parents, unthankful, unholy, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Fierce. Whew, man, that scares you. Better stay in at nights and lock the door. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, Ames. Maybe 150 people were killed because of Ames, and he sits in prison. Should have been strung up. It's your brother there. Who are you to judge? I have to judge nothing. That's the Bible. That's the law. If you have to judge a law, that's what the judges are doing. They're judging laws. They're supposed to maintain the laws. Forget it. We're at the end. Perversion has multiplied till there's nothing left. Having a form of godliness. Homosexuals in the church, lesbians in the church. Whew, man. Denying the power, the authority, and that which goes with it. Denying the very power of the Scripture. How can they do it? Except William Branham and a man like him be there. This is the Alpha. That's the Omega. Christ, the power of God on the scene. Turned down flat. You talk about an end time message, brother, sister. From such turn away, for such are they that creep into houses, lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. See, there you are. There's that little Matthew 7. It's coming up. Wolves in sheep clothing, purporting to be children of God, bringing the word of Almighty God. I've got signs and wonders. Look at my life. I'm this, I'm that. You think I'm not assailed? I won't tip my hand and tell you what's going on in my life. If I were to tip my hand and tell you, you'd be amazed. The hatred I've got from people. Who cares? If I've got what William Branham had, I'll just try to draw bigger circles, but I will not draw a big circle for a guy that's off the word. But now it's got to where it's very pitiful. Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, withstood William Branham, the Pentecostals. So did these resist the truth. How? Because they had some too. Who's this Moses guy? Bless God. I can throw down my rod, throw her down, turn into a snake. Ha! There you are. Pick him by the tail, go into a staff. There you are. I can call for fleas. I can call for this. I can do the same thing. They ran out of steam, though, because they didn't have thus saith the Lord. They simply withstood, and there were those around too happy to stand with them, and they said, go to it, Jannes and Jambres. Hey, said Pastor Farrell, that's wonderful. Oh, man, that's... Why was it hate Moses' guts, but this is just too good to keep. Get William Branham. Get the faithful fivefold ministry. Bring them down somehow. Well, hallelujah, let them try. They could shoot me full of holes so I leak like a sieve, but that doesn't do one thing to the inner man. Their sinner man cannot touch my inner man. Yep. But they're corrupt of mind. Reprobate. They never had it, they never could have it, they never will have it. They're reprobates concerning the faith. Plumb gone shot. Yet the spirits are so close, they're like a razor blade. Brother, sister, don't fall into latter rain traps. May God have pity on your souls. Disabuse your mind, your heart, your conscience, your soul, everything of Pentecostalism. Yield to the true Spirit of God that lies within the conduit of the Word that has been vindicated. No Word of God that in this book, you cannot trust it unless it's been vindicated for this hour. Don't try to run through the whole book like these guys in Europe and different places do and say, well, there's scripture over here in Zechariah. There's scripture over here in Hebrew. Here, over here, here. Oh, who cares if there's scripture everywhere? What doctrine has been vindicated? What has been set forth by the living word of the living God in a prophet? That's what you're looking at, see? Idols. Talk about discrepancy. It's so cunning. Satan is among the people. Well, hallelujah. Let him be among the people. God's among his people. So what's a big brouhaha? Satan isn't so cunning to be amongst his people. God beat him to the punch. God's amongst his people. I'm not talking about the baptism with the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about God. There's your picture. Well, that's not his picture. That's just the fire, the flame. But isn't it consoling to know we have the warmth of the pure word of God revealed to us. What a wonderful blanket. What a wonderful wedding garment to wrap ourselves in. Oh, talk about discrepancy. It's so cunning. Satan is among the people. And just such a theologian, such a doctor, then he can teach the word almost perfectly. Jesus said so, but watch him. There'll be somewhere said, well now, that wasn't for this. Oh, yes it is too, see. Because God said it was. Now, what's he referring to? He's referring to William Branham. Well, who needs Elijah? Who needs William Branham? The old timer said, "Brother Dale, I believe Brother Branham was a great man. But," he said, "I've had dreams and visions too. And I felt so sorry for the old duck I didn't blast him. Doesn't do any good to blast anybody anyway. Just walk off." "Well, have a nice day, brother. Walk off." I could have said, as I've told you many times, "Brother, let you and me sit down and exchange visions, prophecies." And I mean visions and I mean prophecies. "And the healing of the sick. Let's see if you can begin to touch my record." Now you have one. When I saw William Branham that night, said, "Bring me 25 of your worst cases. I guarantee healing for all, or bring them all through the prayer line where 60% get healed." I never saw one failure out of about 1,000 people. God didn't only miraculously take care of 24 or 25, He took care of over 1,000. They got over 20 times their wish and didn't even know it. No backslidden leave there. The guts were fed up with Pentecost and all the shenanigans and all the crooks and all the liars. He said, "If this is what it is," and I walked off. And I paid a price. I mean, I paid a price. And I wouldn't even gone near to Brother Branham, but my wife and our little housekeeper that helped us, she was Pentecostal, and my wife went with her. And she said, "Lee, you've got to go." And she told me the great things she saw. And I said, "Well, I don't have to go. It's good for you. Goodbye, Charlie." And my friend came by. And I don't know where he is today. He could be dead. But he's the guy that put pressure on me. And I just couldn't say no to him. He's such a nice guy. So I don't want to go. Being a preacher, he got me in the building where nobody else, in that last seat up above. It was all over. You can't see God manifest in human flesh and not know it. You can't see this word come to life and not know it. Unless you reprobate. Without a doubt, I was the only man sitting there to heard within him say it. You ever listen to any man, that's the man you listen to. And that took a long time. See, I still had enough in me that wanted to know something or be somebody. Oh, it's so good not to know anything or have to know anything. You let somebody else know it for, and you combine cabbage in on it and take all the profits. The price he paid, what he endured, I just come along and pick up and say, "Well, thank you, Bill, prophet of God. Bill Branham. And thank you, Lord, that you quickened my senses to know those things. See the discrepancy. Millions, actually billions. A teeny percent is going to get out of here." So, "Well, Brother Dale, I'm going to make it, you see. I'll be watching. I'll be watching. How are you going to make it?" What's it all about? Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time we've spent in fellowship here. Time we've had together, looking at your word, going to what the prophet said, going into truth, reminiscing, going into history, looking at the present, looking at the future a little bit. Knowing that it all has come together in this last day, this last hour, by the grace of God, and we're recipients of grace that other people only long for, and they couldn't have it. Now there's a world of half 5.5 to 6 billion people, and you thoroughly manifested yourself with Mount Carmel showdowns. And the people weren't of that group that said, "We're waiting and watching for it. Is the bride waiting for the revelation of the rapture?" A little bit confused she was, and she didn't know which way to really go. Then vindicated word came along, and she knew which way to go. So the world's turned. 8 people making the ark, same percentage today, no doubt. But thank you, Lord, for bringing us the light of the truth of the revelation, whereby we can walk not in darkness, but in the light of Almighty God. Thank you for every soul here this morning that loves you, Lord, and proves it by loving the Word. Because that's the thing they hated you for, was that Word that was real. Didn't hate you for gifts and miracles and everything else. They wanted them by the ton, could have taken them day and night, 36 hours a day. When it came to that Word, they didn't even want 15 split seconds. In fact, they wouldn't even give you a chance to talk. They nailed you to a cross and put thorns on your head to destroy you. And said, he'll die and we'll survive. But the fact of the matter was, you survived and they died. God, may we see that today. In this last hour of crucifying the Son of God afresh, we might take our stand with the Word, the liberating, wonderful Word of God, the Word that dresses us, gets us to the wedding supper, the Word that takes us over to the promised land, fit vessels, to dwell in that great land, the millennium, with temple worship and God Himself. Oh, what a marvelous day. What a wonderful time, Lord. I don't have a clue, but I know it's going to be marvelous. We thank you for it. Heal the sick amongst us, Lord. You know, I myself need so many touches, Lord, it would almost be like going through a car wash to get help. So, Father in heaven, we all need your help this morning. Help us, we pray, for one reason. To be strong in the grace which is in Christ through the Word of the living God and communicate more with each other on the strength and beauty and glory of the Word, and to you, Lord, on the base of the Word, and the church all coming together with the Word, being the Word, and then going into a rapture. Unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed, wonderful, risen Lord. Amen. Take the name of Jesus.